They're great. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Rob.
Stop telling JB. Put that. Will you get that tape ready?
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Stop prepping. Rob does the pre-interview. Like JB needs a pre-interview.
He asked for it. I wasn't
going to
tell him.
All I hear is Rob on the phone going, "Well, Mike's going to Marine Ball tonight, and I'm having a vasectomy."
Did he say that to
yes,
him?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yes, he did.
He's already started telling everyone.
Yeah, he's on the phone. We're trying to get this segment together. He's going, okay, here you go. I had a vasectomy. What did JB say?
I said, he wanted to talk to you, and I said, listen, I've got to talk about me.
Did you really tell him about your vasectomy?
Of course.
Well, see, now you're falling into that category of guys that like to brag about it.
I wanted to know what was discussed on today's show.
Here's the tape coming out of the break.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
Nine.
They will scare you straight. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, we are thrilled once again to have with us the host of the number one pregame show in America. From the NFL Today on CBS, here is our friend, the great James Brown. JB.
Hello, JB.
John and Mike, first of all, I understand that you guys had a radically different Jim Nance on your program last week.
We did.
Jim had a lot of humor with him, huh?
He was out of control. I would describe him as totally out of control.
He was in that mode where he was ready to take his shirt off, go run, scream down Fifth Avenue in New York. And also, he was very, very... And he was anticipating the biggest number of all time, guys.
And he got it, too, didn't he? I mean, it ended up being an overwhelmingly highly rated program.
It was an awesome number. And, you know, Jim and Phil did an outstanding job, as they always do. It was really nice to read a couple of our writers comment how they liked a clean telecast where the guys weren't overhyped and that Jim is always on top of the numbers in the story. So it was all good. But again, you guys bring out the best in him. I'm too impressed.
He is a different animal when he comes on this show.
Well, success is going to...
Operative word, animal, huh?
JB, first thing, this is a football question for you. I'm sure you've dealt with it a lot this week. It's about sound at the RCA Dome.
Right.
And if it is sound from the Colts or if it is sound that was a mistake by CBS, let's play a little bit of the audio and maybe you can tell us what you know. Here it is from the Hoosier Dome.
And Moss open on the slant. Down to the Colts 42. 13-10 game starting this final quarter.
Now, JB, that beginning, that crowd noise, that...
It really sounds like a skipping CD is what it sounds like.
As far as you know, is that a CBS technical gaffe, or is that the Colts, or do you not know?
And you know what? Let me be brutally honest. I don't know the answer, but Don and Mike, in all the years that I've been in TV, I've never heard that it was a network-related issue at all. That's the first time I've ever heard that. Doesn't suggest that it couldn't be. But that's a new one on me.
Well, you know, we were talking about it the other day, JB, and we were mentioning that, you know, I know on the Masters telecast, they pipe in the birds, the tweeting birds that you hear, and they have the kind of the sounds, and they've talked about that. But, I've been aware of them doing that. You don't have to really spice up the audio for TV with an NFL crowd at a home game, do you?
At all, and not for a game that everyone was billing as Super Bowl 41 and a half, please. I mean, the crowd there is a knowledgeable, intelligent crowd, and they had every reason to be psyched up. They didn't need anything added to the mix at all.
All right.
No pun intended.
Let's talk about Darth Hoodie for a second. What is Belichick's major malfunction that after the game, when Tony Dungy goes to shake his hand, he blows him off the way that I would blow off a listener approaching me in a shopping mall?
You know, and I'm speculating here because I know Tony wasn't very pleased when he heard about the whole Spygate situation, and he did comment prior to the results coming in or the investigation revealing that, in fact, that the Patriots were guilty. He said, well, wait until it's confirmed, and then I'll have plenty to say. I would imagine that certainly was good bulletin board material as far as Bill Belichick is concerned. Tony, to his credit, again, took the high road when asked about it repeatedly in Indianapolis, saying that's just the kind of guy Bill Belichick is. He doesn't harbor any ill feelings toward him. But you know what? This is me saying this. I know good and well that Tony and a whole lot of other folks would love to have seen Tony win that game as well, too. But, hey, that's just the way Coach Belichick is. And you know what? Right now he can back it up because he's got a squad that's playing lights-out football.
Well, you know, you're talking about Bill Belichick, and it seems to me that the Patriots have kind of an us-against-them mentality. And I don't – there are two things at play here. You know, you see that picture in the paper this week of Belichick and Dungy at, you know, meeting, and you know, Belichick basically blowing Tony Dungy off. And then you hear what Don Shula says about the Patriots, you know, where, you know, they should have an asterisk after their record. It seems to me that, I guess you don't
Shula's
have to be –
already done a 180 on that incident.
Has he come back on
it a little bit? He's already turning around. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it.
But it seems like there are two things going on here. First of all, the Patriots kind of have the attitude of, hey, they're out to get us, and there are not a lot of people that are doing cartwheels over the success of the Patriots.
And that's a shame from the standpoint that the players themselves should not be faulted. Those guys are playing phenomenal football. Look, at 9-0, the only undefeated team in the league, they've got the number one ranked offense in the entire National Football League. Their defense is the fourth ranked team in all of football, and Richard Seymour is rounding back into shape. Rodney Harrison is rounding back into shape, coming off of the suspension as well. And I understand, from a football standpoint, some people will say, well, they've got some old linebackers, and they showed a bit of that. Well, you know what? But these old linebackers have been playing some pretty doggone good football. So it's a shame that the players have to suffer through this. And I said this a little earlier, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I give them all of the credit in the world for having a phenomenal football team, a wide receiving core that's playing phenomenal football. Tom Brady, what can you say about this guy? He is Mr. Cool in the clutch. But given what they did, that certainly put a smudge on it with respect to Spygate. It was wrong. I understand a lot of teams will try to employ some method to get information that will give them a leg up. But most of it comes by studying videotape to pick up on tendencies and habits. When you flat out cheat like that, I don't care what they say. It's a violation. It's against the rule. And if, in fact, you have coaches and players talking about how they are role models for youngsters in America, then set the right example. There's no excuse for that. So in no way do you condone that at all. That was flat out wrong. But again, they're a great team.
I had two follow-ups for you on that. First, what's the difference between that and the mystique that the Raiders had back in the 60s, that the Raiders would cheat, that the Raiders would water down their field, that the Raiders would steal signs, the Raiders would do all this crap, and the Raiders were beloved because of it. It was like you play the Oakland Raiders, you knew they were going to cheat. You knew that they were going to put metal underneath the pads on their hands to cut guys. Why was that okay and this is not okay?
You know what? And it doesn't make it right at all. And the fact that it was looked upon where folks would turn and look the other way didn't make it right, because the fact of the matter is, people can get hurt out there. You know what? The New England Patriots were thought to have had an issue with the field earlier this year, and I wish I could recall all the particulars. But you don't play games because these guys, I mean, these are million-dollar bodies out there. Their bodies, those are the tools that they use to earn a livelihood. Guys can get hurt. That's why for years folks were screaming and hollering about the carpet sitting on top of concrete there at Philadelphia's old stadium as well, too, until they, you know, got that issue resolved. It doesn't make it right. And today, if that is found to be the case, then teams suffer severe penalties relative to that.
All right, then. Finally, do you forgive Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Say that again.
Do you forgive Dog the Bounty Hunter? JB,
you caught me by surprise on that one too.
Do you forgive
I didn't see
him?
That one coming from you.
Because he said if people don't forgive him, he will kill himself.
Right.
And I'm urging
you. Are you making a mental note of whether people forgive him or not?
I am urging you, JB, to be like me. Don't forgive Dog the Bounty Hunter, because he has said he will kill himself if people do not forgive him. Do you forgive him?
Hey, you know what? The bottom line is, and I know here I come. Don and Mike can say, yo, here comes JP. He's got this square response all lined up. And you know what? I'm going to stay consistent because, as you well know in the Bible, it says, how many times are we supposed to forgive? 70 times 7, or actually it says 7 times 70. So the point is, if his remorse is genuine and it's asked for, then yes, you do forgive him.
JP, right. How did I know you would say that?
Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style. Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel, right? The ultimate CEO, biggest celebrity of them all. Who's down with G-O-D?
That's right.
I'm surprised that Don and Mike, I'm surprised you two didn't have some church music behind that.
We should have. The organ music would be perfect for that.
One more thing before we pick a couple of games. JB, it seems now the cream in the AFC is rising to the top. Used to be the AFC was so much better. Now I see those two teams and the other teams underneath them. Maybe Pittsburgh is okay. But there's not as many great teams. Who in the NFC do you think is bubbling under? Hold on, I'm getting this the wrong way. Two great teams in the AFC where I used to think there were eight great teams.
Yeah, you got the Patriots and you got the Colts.
Now I'm thinking maybe in the top 10, it might not be AFC dominated. Who in the NFC do you think right now has the best chance of beating either the Patriots or the Colts?
Wow. You know what? Most people will tell you that the NFC is still, you know, a step or two behind. Dallas is playing exceedingly good football. Tank Johnson, you know, in the fold now for them. They ought to be strong. Green Bay, you know what? You got to say they're for real. Although I think, I'm struggling here because the New York Giants, I think their front four has done an outstanding job. They are the sack leaders. If the offense gets in groove and stays in a groove, the New York Giants could be a legitimate team. But I'm going to give it one of three: Dallas, the Giants, and Green Bay.
You know, it's shaping up to be a great season because these are teams, you know, from back a few years ago. These are, you know, some of the old school powerhouses that are making noise now. I think that's good for the NFL.
There's no question about that. And you know what? I'm also very happy to see that the Detroit Lions, even though I still think they've got a ways to go defensively, I'm happy to see that things are being turned around in Detroit. It's nice to see that happening there as well.
Agreed. And what about the teams that we thought in the AFC would be kicking ass, like San Diego falling by the wayside? And for goodness sakes, JB, what the HE double toothpicks has happened in Cincinnati?
You know what? What a shipwreck that is right now. Look, Chad Johnson, and it's easy to say when things are going bad, but I have never been a proponent of a guy elevating himself above the team.
Yep.
Hey, those of us in TV who pander to it, who show what he does on the sidelines, you know, all we're doing is encouraging that. I know, yeah, we find it fun, and it makes our job easy. Let me be honest about that. But from a team standpoint, I don't like that at all because it's like the coach has two sets of rules, and you can't do that because when other guys see that, then it breeds discontent. And when you're starting to lose, those problems are magnified. Winning is a great deodorant if they can get back on track, but it's a tough stretch for them.
What is your prediction? What is your?
Go ahead, say that again.
What? I'm sorry, we're starting to lose you here. What is your prediction on Rob's vasectomy?
Oh boy!
Hey, we got him.
Hey, Don and Mike, this is the only time you've caught me speechless, and I wish you could see me because I am blushing, and you know I'm too dark to blush.
All right, let's pick the three biggest games, and then we can talk about Rob's vasectomy in private. How about? Here's a big game. I never thought it would be Cleveland versus Pittsburgh. I'll take the Steelers, Mike.
I like the Steelers also, JB.
Who do you like?
I'm going to go with the Steelers, although I'm very happy to see what's happening with Cleveland. But their defense right now is still struggling. The offense, they've got the fourth best offense in the league. But I go Pittsburgh.
Minnesota, Green Bay. I'll take Packers, go 8-1. Mike.
We're going to agree this week. I'm taking the Packers also. I'd like to see the Packers do it.
Wow. You know what? I'm going to go with them as well, too. With Adrian Peterson, is he the real deal or what? Love it. You know what? And the only reason I'm going against Minnesota is because they still haven't found the answer at quarterback there.
All right. And then well, you know what? Let's do two more because there's Dallas and the Giants.
Thank you for doing that one.
I'll take the Dallas Cowboys.
Ah, Big Blue all the way. Big Blue. Go Big Blue.
Oh, boy, they had a Donnybrook the first time out that Dallas won. I'm going to give it to the New York Giants because I think that pass rush is going to be awfully good.
Right. And here's a game. I don't think it's a sexy game, but I'm telling you, these are two really decent teams, Jacksonville and Tennessee. It's not a sexy game, but they both have kick-ass teams, and they have great records. I think it'd be a great game. I'm going to take Jacksonville in this one. Mike.
Oh, boy. I guess I'll go with Jacksonville, too, because I have no idea who to pick in that football game.
Yeah, you know what? Neither do I. By the way, how badly have I done in these games with you guys in the past?
Have we been keeping an accounting of this?
We have gotten all of them right, and you've gotten all of them wrong.
Well, you know what? The game is being played at Tennessee. Jacksonville's had a fair number of losses of players. I'm going to go with Tennessee at home. Yeah.
All right, I'm changing mine. I'm going to go with JB and pick Tennessee also. I'm all pulling right. out of that Jacksonville pick.
Although I got a feeling about Tennessee that they're going to be like the Ravens in 2000. You know, going to the Super Bowl, maybe, or the playoffs. With
really?
No offense.
Wow.
Killer defense, okay. Tennessee. JB, great talking to you as always.
Hey, love you guys very much, and tell Rob my prayers are with him.
Very good, JB. Thanks so much.
Would you ever do, JB, would you ever do that? Would you ever get a vasectomy?
No.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Plain and simple. Yes.
Thank you. You know why? He's a man.
He's a real man, Rob.
What does that even mean?
Bye, JB.
Bye, bye.
Bye, bye.
Take care. All right, fellas.
There he goes. All right, that's James Brown.
He knows what it means, Rob.
He knows, and all real men know what it means, Rob.
Yes.
Rob, are you getting any phantom soreness in advance of your procedure?
You want to come look?
You know, I was just thinking. Oh, it's time for the news.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. This is the news.
It's a good thing your wife got the ice maker fixed.
Oh, I'm going to need
You're
it.
You're going to need the Yeah, because it would be very frustrating to be trying to soothe yourself with party ice.
Ice your balls down.
I've got to go to the 7-Eleven and buy party ice.
Limp over to the 7-Eleven.
For mine balls.
No lifting.
Well, hi.
Hi.
That's the taste of Rob's vasectomy in my mouth.
Well, we didn't say cauterize, though. Have you forgotten?
Oh, he's forgotten it.
He's not desensitized to it.
Oh, that's an ugly word, Mike.
Cauterize. We're going to cauterize the news right now.
Stop it, or I'm going to have to say that all the Marines will be cauterizing Carla tonight.
Okay, I'll stop. No problem.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
How you doing, Johnny Ringo?
I'm good. Ringo. Just call me Johnny.
Time for the news with Johnny Ringo.
Johnny Ringo.
Again, don't ask why, but it's his new fake name. Ringo. He's not Buzz anymore. He still is Buzz.
I'm Johnny.
He's JR. Ringo.
Johnny Ringo. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.